A trip to the airport often requires a lot of planning ahead. You'll need a ride and you'll need good timing. And once you're there, it's a matter of checking in, going through security, and finally getting to the gate. For those with disabilities, whether physical or mental, traveling often requires extra planning and research, allowing extra time and asking lots of questions. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a person with disabilities who travels? What's your experience been like, either on planes or buses or trains? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Joshua Brockman is a business, technology, and health reporter who contributes itineraries columns for the New York Times. His most recent piece is called "For Disabled Travelers, Technology Helps Smooth the Way, But Not All of It." Joshua, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
For those who don't have disabilities, it might be hard to imagine what some of the challenges are for someone who, for example, might be in a wheelchair or might have difficulty seeing. From what you've learned in talking with people, what is the travel experience like for people with disabilities?
Right. Well, I did have an opportunity to interview a variety of disabled travelers about their experiences taking airplanes, trains, and buses. And one of the travelers I interviewed, his name is Michael May, and he's the executive director for Envision's BVI Workforce Innovation Center. That's a center in Wichita, Kansas, that provides employment training for the blind and visually impaired. And he's a veteran traveler. He is on the road almost weekly on an airplane. I've seen him in action. He uses a cane and a golden retriever guide dog, but he's also a very technologically savvy, and he relies on apps for booking travel. He gets to the airport by hailing a ride on Uber, and he really navigates as best he can by doing as much independent work on his own before he gets to the actual airport or a travel center. But of course, you know, getting to the airport is a different story. He told me how he really hits a void when he gets to the airport, because basically he has to ask someone how to get to TSA pre-check or to clear. As you can imagine, airports are frenzied places, and even if you ask someone for directions, not everybody is so helpful. So that gets to another point, which is that a lot of disabled travelers that I interviewed take the time to enroll in TSA's pre-check program or in this other program called CLEAR to help speed things along.
And I have to say, I think there are assumptions that the Americans with Disabilities Act covers pretty much everything in the United States, but I was actually interested and surprised to read that it doesn't apply to some aspects of travel. What does the ADA govern as far as transportation, and what doesn't it?
Right. That is a surprise for many people. The Americans with Disabilities Act does apply to airports and to ground transportation. So that includes trains, buses, subways, and airport terminals. But of course, airline cabins, that's another story entirely. Those are governed by what's called the Air Carrier Access Act. And to further add to the somewhat complicated landscape, it's the Department of Transportation that has oversight over the Air Carrier Access Act, and the Department of Justice actually has oversight over the Americans with Disabilities Act. What this really means for people with disabilities is when you're in an airline cabin, I had the opportunity to speak with Lee Page, who's a quadriplegic who uses a wheelchair full time. And he summed it up in an incredible way by saying that the most accessible thing on an airplane is the fact that the armrest actually lifts up. Mm. The bottom line about these two pieces of legislation and how they pertain to travel for people with disabilities is that what we're seeing now is that passengers are starting to make there are fraudulent claims that are happening about needing to use emotional support animals. And that, coupled with sort of the rise of untrained animals or pets and some new regulations that airlines have imposed for transporting service and support animals, to compensate for what they think are shortcomings in some of these DOT regulations, all of this takes a toll on disabled travelers who really rely on service animals.
Well, and also in reading about this topic, I noticed that it's not just disabled travelers who are saying, there needs to be more accommodation. It needs to be safer and easier. It's actually flight attendants who are also saying, look, this is actually a danger, not just for people with disabilities, but for us and for other passengers.
Right. So flight attendants are a key part of the equation in terms of travel for people with disabilities, because it's part they're sort of on the front lines of how disabled passengers are communicating with airline staff, especially during the flight. I mean, I'll give you an example. Another profile of someone that appears in my story is Teresa Blankmeyer Burke. She teaches at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., and she's deaf. And basically, she told me that one of the biggest challenges she faces is sort of missing information. I mean, if we think about all the audio announcements that are made in airports, she relies basically on announcements that are disseminated via text message. And some airports also do have visual paging screens. But what she does is when she travels, she prints out a script. And she basically tells flight attendants in that about her communication needs, her preferences, where she's going. And she also makes it clear that she wants important announcements written down. And she asks who's going to be responsible for communicating with her in the event of an emergency. So she's very proactive about it and takes steps to make sure that it can be as pleasant an experience as possible.
We're talking with reporter Joshua Brockman about the challenges that people with disabilities face when they are doing long-distance travel. And it sounds like, I wouldn't be surprised, I should say, that different airports are very different experiences for people with disabilities, because different airports are very different experiences for anyone. And some are much easier to get around in and some are not. Are there some airports that kind of stand out as places that are much more easy for people with disabilities to navigate?
Well, that's a great question, and it is one that I posed to a number of the travelers that I interviewed. Rather than single out a single airport, I think it's helpful to kind of talk about some of the trends that they do see at many of the airports. Although I will say that one of the airports that is doing trying to do things on the future and on the frontier is the SeaTac airport. I mentioned them in my article as well. In that they're doing a partnership with a company called Aira. And this is a monthly subscription app that basically uses a smartphone camera or a pair of glasses that's outfitted with a camera to live stream video to an agent who provides navigational instructions to the blind and visually impaired. And what's interesting here is the company has struck up partnerships with more than a dozen airports. The list keeps growing. So for your listeners, the closest airport is probably Minneapolis, but the airports also include Boston, Seattle. And this is something that Michael May, who I mentioned earlier, he uses Aira, and he also uses another free app called Be My Eyes, which has, believe it or not, a network of 1.2 million volunteers who provide the same type of directions via live video.
Hmm.
The other thing that I just should say about disabled travelers is that the screen reader software, which is something that appears, that is on smartphones, is really a critical piece of the technology toolkit. On iPhones, for example, there's an accessibility program called VoiceOver, and what that does is it basically reads what appears on the screen, and then there are specific gestures to learn to use it most effectively.
And Joshua, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Joshua Brockman is a business, technology, and health reporter who contributes to the itineraries column for the New York Times. He joined us to talk about his recent piece about challenges that travelers with disabilities face. This piece and his other work can be found at kayaknew.com.